Welcome, everybody. We are in our final week of our Replicate series. This is week 10. Can you believe it? So for who of you has this been a helpful series? Right. So this is what we've been doing these last 9 weeks. We've learned about the Replicate Circle, a tool that we can use to identify the people we know who don't yet know Jesus and come up with a strategy for them to know Jesus. So we start with identifying who they are. And then we pray with passion for them. We pray persistently. We pray earnestly that God would save them. And then we pursue with love. So it's not enough to just say, I'm praying for somebody over there, and God is going to send somebody to tell them about him. But I'm praying. What you need to do, what we need to do, is pursue them with love. That means build relationships with them. Get to know them. Let them get to know us. But build a friendship, a warm, affectionate relationship. And then we persuade them with truth. That just means we know what the gospel message is, and we share with them that gospel message. We tell them about who God is and that God wants a relationship with them. You look so excited about that. Woo! Yes, just keep up that level of excitement. Yeah. So that's what we learned. And then we learned how to start a conversation. And that normally starts with, hi, hello, good morning, what's up, bro, what else do you say? Awe, how's it? Yeah, dumelang, kiteng ugai, and all of that stuff, yeah? So that's, in addition to that, we learn to ask, admire, and admit. So we learn to ask great questions. So after we say hi, or whatever else it is we say, we don't then say, you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You're in trouble. That's too bad for you. That doesn't really work. So we ask questions. We get to know who they are. We invite them into their lives. We ask for an invitation into their lives. Then we admire. We admire something about them that we like, that we think is a good quality. Basically, we build common ground with them, find out what we have in common, and we admire that. And then we admit that we too needed to be rescued. So we know that we too needed Jesus to come into our lives and save us. So we don't go in with the attitude of, I have all the answers, I've got it all figured out. We just be honest about our lives, our stories, our struggles, and we share that with them. Please don't distract me. Thank you. And then we learn to share the gospel. So we first needed to learn what the gospel is. And so Pastor Mark drilled this into our heads more times than what we wanted him to. So by now, I think we all know what it is. Yeah? God, our sins, paying everyone life. And this is an easy way to remember what the gospel is. And then we unpacked it a little bit further. God created us to be with him. Our sins separate us from God. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. Everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. Life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. So we learned that that's what the gospel is, and when we share the gospel, we share with people that message. And once we've shared with the gospel with people, we learn that there are two questions we should ask. So after starting a conversation, after sharing the gospel, we then ask, does it make sense to you? They may say, no, you creepy person, it doesn't, get away from me. In that case, we say, what about it? Didn't you understand? Can I explain it again? Or they could say, yes. And then from there, we ask, is there anything holding you back from trusting in Jesus right now? They have three options. They could reject, say, I don't want to hear anything more, go away. They could question, they could say, I don't understand this, I have questions about that. In which case, we respond, could I come back to you after a few days? I'll find out about your question. Or can I introduce you to somebody I know who I think can answer that question? Or invite them to church. Maybe they say, there you'll find answers to some of your questions. Or they could accept the message. And in that case, we lead them in a prayer of salvation. An example of which is, "Dear God, thank you that you created me to enjoy a close relationship with you. I now realize that my sins separate me from you and that I cannot remove my sins through good deeds. Thank you that Jesus died and rose again to pay for my sins, and right now I put my trust in you alone and I receive your free gift of eternal life. Thank you that eternal life starts now and lasts forever. Amen." And that is just the gospel message put into a prayer. So there's no magic formula in the words. The words in themselves have no power, but it's what God does by that person praying that prayer in faith. So the key is to keep it short and sweet. No long words that they forget what it is you're trying to say. Short and sweet, leading them to Jesus. So today, our final week of the series, we are celebrating the harvest. So could the farmers in here tell us what a harvest is? Who are the... No? None of you farm during the week? No? I'm pretty sure I've seen some of you farming in the week. No? All right, even if you aren't a farmer, what is a harvest? What does it mean? Yes. So, crops are produced, you plant the seed, you water it, over time it grows, and when once it's ready to be taken from the field, that's called harvesting. This is what Jesus said to his disciples. "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields." Now, Jesus wasn't talking about the apple trees that are ready for harvest, or the pears, or the peach tree, whatever. He was talking about people who don't yet have a relationship with him. People who he wants to know him, but don't yet do. So that's who he's talking about when he says the harvest. And I think we all know there are many people in the world who are lost, who are broken, who are hurting, who are lonely, who need the love of God in their lives. So Jesus is saying to his disciples and to us, pray to God, who's in charge of the harvest, and ask him to send more workers into his field. Ask him to send people who will go out and bring in the harvest, who will tell other people the gospel message. Which is what Jesus himself came to do. His words again. "The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." So Jesus didn't come to save people who had it all figured out and were all put together. He came to save people who knew that they were lost, that they needed God, that they were broken. And this was his mission. And we all know John 3:16, I think. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And that is the heart of God. That is God's desire for each of us here and for every single person in the world. And Jesus came to earth so that he could get into the messy business of compassion and serving those who were down and out. He came to relate to the broken, the sick, and the lost in order to lead them to eternity with God. So I'm going to play a video that I think nicely summarizes everything we've done over the last 9 weeks.
"Of heaven and earth are what in the Bible, the ideas of heaven and earth are ways of talking about God's space and our space.
So I understand our space really well. We live here. There's trees, rivers, mountains. But my understanding of God's space gets a little fuzzy.
And what we do get in the Bible are images trying to help us grasp God's space, which is basically inconceivable to us.
So these are two very different types of spaces.
Yes, they're different in their nature, but here's what's really interesting is that in the Bible, these are not always separate spaces. So think of heaven and earth as like different dimensions that can overlap in the same exact space.
So we talk a lot about going to heaven after we die, but this idea of heaven and earth overlapping, we don't talk a lot about that.
Which is kind of crazy because the union of heaven and earth is what the story of the Bible is all about. How they were once fully united and then driven apart, and about how God is bringing them back together once again.
So let's go back to the beginning where heaven and earth, they're completely overlapping.
Yeah, this is what the Bible's description of the Garden of Eden is all about. It's a place where God and humanity dwelt together perfectly, no separation, and humans then partner with God in building a flourishing, beautiful world and so on.
But as humans, we wanted to do things a different way. We wanted God out and we wanted to create a world apart from him.
Yeah, so we have these two spaces now. And the Bible actually uses lots of different kinds of words and phrases to refer to these two spaces to make a clear distinction.
So you've said that these spaces can overlap, though. So explain how that works.
Yeah, this is where we have to start talking about temples. Because in the biblical world, you experience God's presence by going to a temple. That's where heaven and earth overlap.
Now, there are two types of temples described in the Bible. One is a tabernacle, basically a tent that was built by Moses. And the other was this massive building made by Solomon.
And these temples were decorated with fruit trees and flowers and images of angels and all kinds of gold and jewels and so on. And these are designed to make you feel like you're going back to the garden. And at the center of the temple was a place called the Holy of Holies, which was like the hot spot of God's presence.
Now we can go and be with God again.
But not so fast, because the temple also creates a problem. So God's space is full of his presence and goodness and justice and beauty, but human space is full of sin and injustice and the ugliness that results.
So how do these spaces overlap if they're so different and they're in conflict with each other?
This was resolved through animal sacrifice.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. What do animal sacrifices have to do with this?
Yeah, the idea is this. Animal sacrifices, somehow they absorb the sin when the animal dies in your place. And it creates a clean space, so to speak, where you are now free to enter into the temple and be in God's presence.
Okay, so if I'm an Israelite and I live in Jerusalem, I might be able to be in God's presence. But you said the story of the Bible is all of heaven and earth reuniting.
Right. So we have to keep going in the story where we come to Jesus in the New Testament. And in the Gospel of John, we hear this claim that God became human in Jesus and made his dwelling among us. Now, this word dwelling is really curious. It means he set up a tabernacle among us. And so what John is claiming right here is that Jesus is a temple. He is now the place where heaven and earth overlap.
What's interesting about Jesus is that he isn't staying in this safe, clean space. He's running around, hanging out with sinners. He's healing people of their sicknesses and forgiving people of their sins.
He's basically creating little pockets of heaven where people can be in God's presence, but he's doing it out there in the middle of the world of sin and death.
And he keeps telling everyone that the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
And he even told his followers to pray regularly that God's kingdom come and that his will be done here on earth just as it is in heaven.
But a lot of people are threatened by Jesus and they kill him, which seems to spoil this whole plan to reunite heaven and earth.
But we have to go back to a scene earlier on in Jesus' story where John the Baptist saw Jesus and said, "Behold, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world."
So Jesus isn't just talked about as being a temple. He's also talked about as being the temple sacrifice.
Yeah, so the cross is now the place where Jesus absorbs sin to create a clean space that is not limited like animal sacrifices. Jesus' sacrifice has the power to keep spreading and spreading and reuniting more and more of heaven and earth.
And this is all really great, but it leaves one big question in my mind, which is, what happens when I die? Don't I just fly over to God's space to be with Jesus?
Yeah, so a few times in the New Testament, we learn that Christians will be with Jesus in heaven after they die, but that is not the focus of the Bible story. The focus is on how heaven and earth are being reunited through Jesus and will be completely brought together one day when he returns. So in the book of Revelation, we get this beautiful image of the Garden of Eden, now in the form of a city, coming to end the age of sin and death by redeeming all of human history in a renewed creation. And God's space and human space completely overlap once again.
Right. So as we say in the video, what Jesus came to do is to bring God's space into our space and to make it possible for that space to be united once again. So instead of staying in his space, God's coming to our space, And he went to, as in the video, the different spots, creating hot spots of his presence. But now that he's gone back to heaven, he's given that job to us. He said that we should be his ambassadors. What is an ambassador? Anybody? No? Is anyone here an ambassador? No? Maybe you're an ambassador for your school or for a brand. Or who would like to be the ambassador of a brand? Nike or what? L'Oreal or a sports club or something. So basically, if you're an ambassador, you represent the brand or the person or the country. An ambassador is the highest ranking person who represents their own government while living in another country. They are sent with all the authority of the person they represent, making the position of ambassador one of high honor and responsibility. Their job is to communicate effectively for the person or brand they represent, or to embody the ideals and principles of the person or the brand they represent. So for those of us who are Christians who have a relationship with Jesus, the Bible tells us that we are citizens of heaven. So when we become saved, when we start a relationship with Jesus, we then immediately become citizens of heaven. So we may still be living here on earth, but we know that one day we're going to be reunited with God in his kingdom in heaven. So you may have heard people say we're in this world but not of it. And this is what they mean, saying while we're here, we understand that this isn't where we're going to remain and this isn't where we ultimately belong. But we are here in the meantime. And while we are here, God says that we are to be his ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5 says, and God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. So God says to each of us who have a relationship with Jesus that you are my ambassadors. I am giving you this task of telling people about me, of telling them this gospel message, saying to them, come back to God. Jesus said in Matthew 5, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. Basically saying that we, while on earth, are meant to be like salt and light for his kingdom and for his message. So how do we do that? How do we build relationships with people? How do we be his ambassadors? It starts with building authentic relationships. It starts with looking around at the needs around us and saying, where can I serve? Where can I contribute? How can I build relationships with people? And then what's helpful to remember is this acronym called SALT. You know, start a conversation. Get to know people. Don't see them from a distance and just leave them there. But really get involved in their lives. Allow them to get involved in your life. Ask questions. Ask them how they're doing. Ask them about things that are happening in their lives and keep following up on that. And then really listen to their story. Now, don't ask and not really listen and then you just forget. But really listen to their story and remember their story. And then tell them your story as well. And share with them what God has done in your life, who God has been to you, how God influences your everyday life. And then also tell them God's story. Tell them what God has done. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them that Jesus came so that they could have a relationship with God, so that they could be set free from their sin, from their brokenness, that they could find healing for their pain. And tell them God's story as well. Being an effective witness is first and foremost living your life as a Christian in a way that others will want to know more. So it's being so kind, so patient, so generous in your actions, in the way you treat people, that people say, what is it about you? Why are you like this? Are they attracted to you? They want to hang out with you. They want to spend time with you. So we've got to live that way. But we can't just live that way and say, I'm not going to actually verbally tell people this gospel message. We also need to tell people about Jesus, share our testimony, invite them to be part of church. So we can't only tell them, and we can't only live our lives in a way that communicates who God is. We've got to do both. So when people are so attracted to our lives that they come to us and we can build a relationship with them, it gives us the opportunity to then share with them verbally the gospel message. All of which can be a little bit daunting, can be a little bit scary to be God's ambassador, to tell other people about him. But the great news is that God didn't just say, you go be my disciple, you go make disciples, tell people about me. He also said, I'll help you do it. I'll give you the power to do it because I know in your own strength, you can't. And so in Acts 1:8 we read, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. That was Jesus speaking to his disciples just before he returned to heaven. He's saying, I need you to go tell people about me. But before you start, wait here until I give you the Holy Spirit, who will give you the power to fulfill the mission I'm giving you. And in Romans 9, Paul writes, my heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief for my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters. I would be willing to be forever cursed, cut off from Christ, if that would save them. So here's Paul, who has this incredible relationship with God, who has received amazing revelation. But he says that I would rather be cut off from Christ. I would rather lose my salvation, lose my relationship with God, if it means that my Jewish brothers and sisters would come to have a relationship with God. And the great thing is, once we have our salvation, we can never lose it. But it's the heart of Paul, this attitude that Paul has, this passion that he has for those who don't yet know Jesus, that we learn from, that we should also have in our lives for our lost family and our lost friends. And we should so passionately desire that they know God, that we should say to, even if it means I lose my salvation, which we can't do, but even if it meant that, I will do what I can. I want God to save them. And the great thing is that God's calling is also his enabling. So he gives us this mission, but then he also says, I'm going to give you the power to fulfill the mission. All authority has been given to me, says Jesus. So go and make disciples of all nations, and I am with you always. And by nations, he's just saying, the people in your life. Doesn't mean another country, just the people in your life, in your spheres of influence, in your schools, in your families, in your communities. Who are the people who don't yet know Jesus? They are the nations that Jesus said we must go to. So what we're going to do now is to ask God to give us that power. So what I'd like you to do is first think about, are you committed to this mission? Are you serious about saying, God, I want to be part of this mission? And if you are, then stand up. But only don't stand up if you're only standing up because other people are standing up. Stand up only if you're saying, God, this mission you've given us, I'm going to be serious about it. I want you to use me to go to the nations and tell other people about you. So if that's you and you say, I'm kind of serious about that, I want to do that, then please stand. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you sent your only Son to save us. We thank you, Jesus, for the life you live, for the death you died, for our sins. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you raised Jesus to life again. And because of that, we have victory over sin and death. And we now have this eternal relationship with you. But we also recognize, God, that you've given us this message. You've called us to be your ambassadors, to reconcile people to you, to appeal to them to come back to you. I pray for every person standing here, Father, who has said, I want to be about your mission, God. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd fill each and every person. I ask, Holy Spirit, that going forth from here, we'd have the boldness, the courage, and the wisdom to tell others about you, to seek opportunities, Father, to build relationships with those who don't yet know you, and to meaningfully and authentically become part of their lives. Help us to know, Lord God, what to say and what to do. But thank you, God, that you give us the power, that we're not doing this in our own strength. Help us to remember that you are with us always. And we thank you, God, for what it is you're going to do in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Right. So, one final thing. As we go out on this mission that God has given us, don't feel that you need to be the person that leads somebody to Jesus. You may just be part of the process. God may use you to plant a seed or to grow a seed, but he's in charge of the harvest. So he'll send out the workers, and your job might just be to encourage someone, to remind them that God loves them, to do something kind for them, and God will use that to draw them to him. So don't feel discouraged if as you share and as you witness, somebody doesn't get saved immediately. Remember, he is the Lord of the harvest, and all he asks us to do is to be faithful and to be obedient and available to him. So what we're going to do for 5 minutes before we have some cupcakes and hot chocolate is to hear from each other. So who would like to share about how this series has impacted you? How has it added value to your life? What have you learned? What do you take away from it? If we could have about three people. Naomi, come on up. Thank you.
Morning, everyone. I hope you're all well. You guys look amazing. Okay, so this series has challenged me to step out of my comfort zone and, you know, actually encourage my friends. I remember last week we were given scenarios where we had to deal with different people, and my friends and I, we were given an atheist. And so it was really hard. And so this week on so I have a friend that's atheist, and so I've prayed for him, but still doesn't believe in God. And so on Thursday, I asked my dad to pray for me as I started a spiritual conversation with him. And then on Friday, I spent almost 3 hours talking to him. And I managed to tell him the gospel. And he's currently going through something. And I managed to tell him that I only know one person who cares for him, and that was Jesus. So, and God answered a prayer of mine on Friday, because I always used to pray and ask God to allow me to know his story and what's going on in his life. And it happened on Friday, so that's my testimony.
Yeah, funny enough, it's today, I think, that had the biggest impact. Firstly, the video where they're talking about heaven and earth and whatever. Yeah, that was a different perspective, I guess. And it really helped, because then we think often, like, you know, it's an us and them kind of thing, and that separation kind of affects us in our mind when we're speaking to people about God, because then it's like, you know, you're all sinners and you're not saved and you have all these issues, where it's something God has deposited in all of us, that purity, you know. And yeah, that's something that clicked with me, as well as the verse that was displayed on the thing about how Paul said he's willing to be cut off from God if he can see everyone saved as well. So for me, it was like that type of love is something we can all have towards each other, where we can say, I love you enough to be separated from God, which is something Jesus did. So it's crazy that we can do the same thing. So yeah, that's something that affects me.
So I have an atheist friend, and I've really been struggling to reach out to her, but like recently over the thing, I've learned about her love language, and I've learned why she doesn't love the Lord, and I'm like trying to reach out to her through what I've learned about her. And yeah, baby steps.
I think when we started this whole series, I just felt I didn't feel anything. I don't know how to explain it. It's complicating, but at the end of the series, when I started to tell people about Jesus, and now I have three friends, and I think it's really impacted into my life, and some things have changed, and it just feels so spiritual and great for me.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Well, it helped me actually to step out of my comfort zone and to kind of be courageous and also telling people about the gospel and not really being ashamed of it.
Thank you. One more person.
Okay, so this series, I think I'm a shy person. Like, I'm shy to like people I don't know. So like when we started this series, it made me step out and, you know, like really try to be like energetic and everything, and then like talk to people. And I think through it, although my friend, when I started talking to her about Jesus, she was just like, no, I'm not ready for that holy life and everything. But I think through everything that I learned here, learning the gospel and everything, it touched her and it has changed her. Even though she hasn't come to accept Christ, she's already changing. And I think it's through the help of this series that made me be able to step out of my comfort zone to talk about Jesus Christ to her.
Thank you so much, Jabril and Ishan. So I think the message of this series is that God's heart is that every person has a personal, intimate, ongoing relationship with Him. And He wants us to be a part of that. He wants us to be His workers in the harvest. And He gives us the power and the ability to do that. Now let's pray and just thank God for what He's done this term. Father, we thank You for what You've taught us about Your heart, about who You are, and about the gospel and what it means for us as individuals and for the rest of the world, Father. And I just thank You, Lord, for the seeds You've planted and hoarded. And we ask, God, that in the name of Jesus, it wouldn't just stay here, but what we've learned, we'd apply to our lives, Lord God, and that You'd use us in a mighty way to reach those who don't yet know You, to bring in the harvest, Lord God, for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So next term, which starts the weekend of the 14th of October, so we're back here on Sunday, on the 16th of October, we're doing two mini-series, the first of which is called the Spirit Series. In this series, we learn about who the Holy Spirit is, what He does, what role He plays in our lives. And in the second series, we're doing a series called the Hearing God Series. And that series is going to focus on how do we as individuals in our quiet time with God, how do we hear from Him? How do we hear what He wants to say to us specifically? So that is going to help us to learn the knowledge and the skills to do that. So thank you, everyone. All of the best for the next 2 weeks. Remember, we're not up here. This coming Friday, we're doing the last of our Alpha course. And yep, that's the last. And then we're back for Friday Youth on the 14th of October. And then the Matric Farewell will be the 21st of October. So look after yourselves these next 2 weeks. God bless and have a great week. There is cupcakes and hot chocolates. And we still have a few minutes before they finish downstairs.